Chapter 13
Rats.
Valerie shuddered as we stood on the roof of the nightclub.
You're going to talk to rats.
I never said rats, per se. I said vermin, which may or may not include rats.
Exactly. Here in Cincy, we have plenty of other creatures we consider vermin. Voles, muskrats, opossums.
Those are all basically just different versions of a rat.
Val said with a huff.
What about raccoons?
Leah raised a blonde eyebrow.
Trash rats?
Valerie shrugged.
Bats?
The polyworm continued to push.
Pigeons?
Rats of the sky.
Frogs?
Leah's eyes narrowed as the words slipped out of her mouth.
Why, frogs aren't pests.
Val said in the most sarcastic tone I'd ever heard.
They're the most beautiful creatures on God's green earth. The most beautiful, slimy, wart-covered things I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
The blonde woman grumbled.
That's what I thought.
I think it's a brilliant plan.
Ada admitted.
Carter has these incredible abilities, so we should be using them anytime we can. Who else here can talk to animals, That gives us a major advantage over our enemies, since we'll practically have eyes everywhere.
Exactly. Which is why we're going to see if we can track down our little friend in the park.
In the park?
Naomi asked in a curious tone.
Why are we out here on the roof if we need to go to the park?
Because he's coming to us. Just wait and see.
And I'm assuming the bird seed is an extra incentive?
Valerie asked as she pointed to the small bag of random seed on the ground beside us. More like a reward. I promised this to our top scout a while ago, but I've been kind of busy, and I'm only just now getting it to him.
Our top scout is a bird.
Val raised an eyebrow and sighed.
I suppose I shouldn't be surprised.
You joke, but they make the perfect spies. They're literally everywhere, and nobody really thinks twice about the pigeon or blue jay that's hanging around on their balcony. Little do they know, most of the birds in this city report everything back to our number one guy. Number one bird.
How adorable. What's the little guy's name?
His name? It's an intricate series of chirps and whistles. There's no English translation.
That sounds really confusing.
Not really.
Janine noted.
We may not know his real name, but we all just refer to him as Reginald.
Reginald. That's a strange name for a bird. It means king in Latin. And according to Carter, this little bird, he certainly acts like one.
It's very fitting. If you could hear the way he talks and acts, you totally understand. Just then, out of the corner of my eye, I saw a small red dot approaching in the distance. I squinted, and my enhanced werepanther vision clearly picked up the outline of a small red bird with a black beak and a feathered crest sticking out of his head. That would be Reginald. The little cardinal landed on the edge of the roof and tilted his head sideways as he looked our crew over with his large, pupilless eyes.
There weren't this many of you last time,
Reginald observed. Hey, what can I say? I asked with a shrug. I'm a popular guy. People flock to me.
Not just people, the cardinal explained. Once word got out about you killing Orglen and needing scouts, a whole lot of my evening friends fell right in line.
That's really good to know, especially since I have a really important task for them right now. Reginald made a chirping sound as he nodded his tiny head in the direction of the bird seed and tilted it to the left.
I don't speak bird, but I think he's saying he wants some of that seed right now.
Where are my manners? I rolled my eyes as I transformed my left hand into a werepanther paw.
I'm sorry.
Reginald let out a chirp as he flapped up into the air.
Please don't eat me, Carter Hatfield. I just thought that was the seed you promised me last time.
It is, I promised, and then I shook my head and laughed. These claws aren't for you, Reginald. They're for opening the bag. I quickly unsheathed a single claw and dragged it across the front of the bird seed bag horizontally. My organic dagger slid through the flimsy plastic like a hot knife through butter. And once the bag was completely open, I placed it down on the rooftop in front of Reginald. The cardinal stopped chirping, though he continued to hover in the air for a few seconds as he sized the situation over. Finally, Reginald softly landed on the edge of the open bag, tilted his head, and then leaned forward to take a small bite of the morsels before him. He gobbled down a few bits of the seed before he lifted his head up, and he trilled happily as he looked me in the eyes.
"Where do you humans find this stuff?"
he asked in a very satisfied tone.
We birds scour the city looking for such tasty delicacies for hours, if not days, but you humans are the only ones who seem to have them, usually inside of those big cages or in big hanging piles with a clear wall around it.
For half a second, I considered explaining to Reginald how we just walked to the nearest box store and picked up a bag of the stuff, but I quickly changed my mind. All that was going to do was open up a bunch of questions for the bird, and I really didn't have time to explain the intricate details of capitalism right now. That's our secret, I lied. Just know you'll get as much of this as you want as long as you keep acting as my lead scout.
As much as I want?
Reginald asked. I can bring you a bag of this every month for the foreseeable future. Now, let's get down to business. How many scouts would you say we have currently?
Was I supposed to be keeping count? Because I lost count a long, long time ago.
That many? I gasped, but then a smile twisted across my face. Damn, we must have eyes in the sky all over the place.
Not just in the sky. My avian friends weren't the only ones who wanted to help out. We've got a lot of squirrels and rats and mice who want in on this, too.
How does that even work? You can talk to each other?
Of course, we can't all understand each other. We have translators.
I didn't even want to think about how the noises of a chirping, cooing bird could even start to translate into squirrel or rat language, but I suppose in this crazy world we lived in, anything was possible. Well, I have a mission for all of you guys. Do you know anything about the old concrete tunnels underneath the city? Reginald trailed off as he stared off into the distance, unblinking.
I mostly see all these buildings from above. I don't go underneath the surface very often. I suppose I could ask the rats, though.
Ask everyone. The rats, the bats, the birds, the raccoons, anything willing to help us out.
What are you looking for exactly? The cardinal questioned. Just the tunnels?
You know the giant concrete bridge that's out to the west side of the city? The one all the cars drive over and that has a whole bunch of trains running underneath it?
Oh, yeah. Reginald said with a nod. I fly over that thing all the time.
Well, there's supposedly one of those underground tunnels beneath it, but most humans don't know where it is.
Well, the rats would know.
The bird answered without missing a beat.
They'll know for sure.
Great. Tell any of the rat scouts to scope out those tunnels and to meet us over by the east side of the bridge in, like, an hour.
What's an hour?
The bird asked innocently. Oh, right. I chuckled as I remembered non-humans didn't understand the concept of time like we did. Just tell them to meet us there when the sun is high in the sky, but starting to move to the west.
You still haven't told me what you're looking for,
Reginald repeated with a mouthful of bird seed. A giant snapping turtle. One that's about 8 feet tall and can punch a hole through solid brick. We're trying to figure out where he's hiding, and that tunnel seems to be the perfect place for him to lay low.
Huh. I definitely haven't seen one of those creatures before. I'll see what the other scouts can come up with. Now, about the seed. I can't really carry all of it.
I'll keep it inside so nobody else gets it. Whenever you want some more, just swing by and let me know, and I'll bring it out to you. And then, of course, while you're indulging yourself, I can grab a cup of coffee, and we can sit out here and talk about all the great updates you have for me.
As long as you keep bringing the goods, I'll sit here and listen to whatever you have to say, Reginald chirped.
So you'll deliver the message, then? I asked with a smile.
Right now!
The cardinal nodded as he flapped his wings and raised into the air.
Hopefully the other scouts can help you find whatever you're looking for.
Until next time, Reginald. I said, and then we all watched the cardinal take off into the skyline of the city.
So, I only got half of that conversation,
Janine said.
But I'm assuming he's going to help us?
He's going to talk to the rats and the mice, I explained to the group as I rolled the open portion of the birdseed bag down to close it off. He thinks he'll know where to find the entrance to that hidden section of the subway, so we're going to meet him on the east side of the bridge and then go from there.
We don't have a moment to waste, then. Who knows how many miles of tunnel we'll have to go through before we find Big Dumb and Ugly.
If I know the city of Cincinnati,
Janine snorted.
And I do. They probably got pretty far into the development of the project before they decided to shut it down. Which means we could be facing a full-on labyrinth down there.
Great. Why couldn't one of my powers have been echolocation or something like that?
That's what the rats are for, love.
Ada said as she placed her hand between my shoulders and gave me a soft rub.
Now come. The sooner we get there, the sooner we can get this whole thing over with.
I picked up the bag of birdseed and then the six of us proceeded through the rooftop access door and down the stairs to the main floor of the nightclub. I stopped along the way to toss Reginald's birdseed into a closet, but then I joined the rest of my friends out in the parking lot out back. It was now mid-afternoon, which meant Cincy's Jewel would be opening up in a few hours. It was integral we got this problem with Newt taken care of before he had the chance to crash my club or Ada's place again, so we were on borrowed time. All right, I sighed as I looked over the yellow Hummer I'd adopted as my primary vehicle. It's going to be a tight fit with all six of us crammed in there.
I don't mind sitting on anyone's lap.
Ada giggled and shot me a wink.
Just be careful not to hit too many bumps, love. That might lead to a bit of a conundrum in the backseat.
I think you can all squeeze in without any issues, I said, even though the image of Ada and the other women getting frisky was now on my mind. I clicked the button to unlock the Hummer, and then I popped open the door and jumped up into the driver's seat.
Shotgun!
Naomi cackled as she threw open the passenger door. The witch shimmied up into the vehicle, and her netted cleavage hung down and jiggled as she moved. Then Naomi quickly flipped around and pushed her leather-clad ass down against the seat before she let out a long, happy sigh.
No fair!
Leah teased as she climbed in the back.
You were already at the door when you called shotgun!
Sounds like loser talk to me.
Naomi said as she turned and stuck out her tongue to the polyworm. Leah squeezed into the very middle of the back seat while Janine got up right beside her. Then Ada and Valerie hopped into the Hummer on either side of Leah and Janine, slammed the doors shut, and grunted as they fumbled with the seatbelts.
Sorry, Leah.
Val huffed as she struggled to buckle up.
My hand might end up going somewhere you really don't want it to go. Janine will be fine. My hands have already been all over her body.
Val's green eyes widened as she looked over at Janine, whose face turned as red as her hair. Meanwhile, Ada showed no shame at all as she pushed the belt in with a gentle click and then laid her head against Janine's shoulder, like a star-struck high school lover. Last chance, I said to the women in the back. Anybody want out?
You know the answer is no, Carter. We're with you through thick and thin.
Good. I chuckled as I twisted the key and brought the Hummer to life. Because we're about to dive right into the thick. I put the vehicle in gear and then pulled out of the parking lot and out onto the main road. It was almost rush hour, so there was plenty of traffic along the route that slowed us down and made me start to grow anxious about being late. However, the congestion started to break up once we'd gotten a few miles away from the nightclub, and soon we were home free.
Let's go over the plan one more time,
Leah said from the back seat.
Just to make sure we've got it right.
We get to the viaduct and meet with the rats.
Then, once they tell us where Newt is, we go down into the secret abandoned subway.
Naomi added as she rubbed her hands together.
Where we find the scaly son of a bitch and try to kill him before he turns.
By bringing the tunnel down on his head, but only part of it, so we don't end up crushed by the debris. Val and I will get into position and take out a bunch of the structural beams on my command, all while you and Leah trap that fucker with your abilities.
And what about me, love? Surely I didn't come along just to stand around and look pretty.
You're there in case anything goes south, I reminded the succubus. If he hears us coming, he could turn before we get a chance to spring the trap. Or there's a very, very slight chance bringing down the entire subway roof on his head won't be enough to kill the bastard.
You think so?
Janine gulped.
That seems like it would kill just about anything.
You saw how powerful Val was when she was a were-turtle. Like I said, it's a slight chance, but a chance nonetheless.
So what happens then?
Val asked, in an emotionless tone I knew she was using to hide her fear.
What happens if he somehow is able to turn before you can take him out?
Well, then we go for plan B. We try to do what we did for you and get him onto his back, and then we try to calm him down enough so he turns back into a human.
And then we kill him.
Naomi cackled as she slammed her fist into her open palm.
You are way too excited about this,
Janine mused.
And you're much too nonchalant.
The witch shrugged.
This guy has been a total bitch since we first met him, and he's working for the god who wants to wipe us all off the face of this planet. Of course I'm excited to take him out of the picture.
Let's not forget we also have to do this all without letting Val Hulk out.
Leah noted.
That's kind of a big one.
I'll be fine.
Val promised.
Unlike some of us in this car, I know how to put a handle on my emotions.
Wow!
Leah giggled and then she slapped her friend on the shoulder.
Careful,
the brunette woman warned.
You don't want to see me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
You're scary enough when you're angry as a human.
The polyworm shot back without a second's hesitation.
Let's keep it that way.
The two besties continued to trade playful barbs all the way to our destination, which made the drive all the more entertaining. Eventually, we found ourselves on the east side of the viaduct on Highway 127, so I pulled the Hummer off an exit ramp and found an old abandoned factory building. Then I pulled into one of the faded parking spots, killed the engine, and exited the vehicle. Cars, trucks, and other vehicles roared on the viaduct overhead as we all got out of the Hummer and began to inspect our surroundings. Before us stood the massive 3,500-foot-long bridge, complete with its turn-of-the-century architecture. Lots of arches ran along the bottom of the structure, and each one had four or five vertical columns that held up the road at the top.
This thing is huge.
Val sighed as she took it all in.
How are we even going to find these rats you want to talk to? There's so much of this structure that's located on the east side.
We need to walk up to the starting point of the viaduct. I would bet money that's where they're planning to meet us.
If Reginald told them at all. I have a very difficult time trusting a bird.
With that, I locked the vehicle, and we began our trek over to the easternmost side of the viaduct. We had to walk past several industrial buildings and a train yard, but thankfully, the city had been working on turning this into a more modern, urbanite-friendly area, and there were nicely paved sidewalks the whole way. Eventually, we came to the very bottom of the first arch on the viaduct, and I leaned up against the concrete. Whew, I said as I wiped a bit of sweat off my brow. Sorry for the long hike, guys. I didn't realize the parking lot was that far away.
It's all right,
Leah panted.
I needed to get my steps in anyways.
Psst.
A voice hissed from somewhere behind my head.
Psst, are you the guy the bird told us about?
Quiet.
A second, more feminine voice retorted.
Do you want him to spray us with poison?
I stood up straight and then slowly turned around to face the voices behind me, and I saw two rotund, gray bodies sitting there on a protruding section of the viaduct, about at my eye level. Rats.
Oh, my God.
Val gasped, and then she sounded like she was going to be sick.
Chill out, Val. If you hang around us long enough, you're going to see way grosser stuff than some sewer rats.
Hello. I introduced myself awkwardly to the two little creatures. My name is Carter, and I'm the one the cardinal bird told you about.
He can understand us?
The male rat said in disbelief.
Well, he's definitely the one we're looking for.
Glad to meet you, I said with a smile. My friends and I here are looking for a giant tunnel in this area, and we thought you might be the perfect people, animals, to help us.
Giant tunnel.
The female rat trailed off.
There's a lot of giant tunnels around here, friend.
No, not like this one. This one would be huge. Its walls would be completely made out of concrete or man-made stone. And there's an entrance to it that's large enough for a human to walk into. Also, I think there might be a human actually living there.
Oh.
The female rat noted.
You're talking about the palace.
The palace? I raised an eyebrow at the furry creatures.
It's not really a tunnel, the male rat explained. It's this giant opening in the ground that goes on for miles and miles. It's huge!
But it is certainly made by humans.
The female rat chimed in.
I've never seen anything like it before.
Lots of our brothers and sisters live down there, which is why we call it a palace. It's the home of many, many rats.
Our population is starting to thin out, though. I don't know where our friends and family members are going, but they're not coming home, that's for sure.
I've got a feeling that might be the guy I'm looking for. He has a bad habit of eating whatever he can find, and if there's a bunch of rats down in his lair, it would be like an all-you-can-eat buffet for him. But we can get rid of him if you can take us to this palace of yours.
As long as you promise not to tell any other humans, the male rat warned. We almost never have anyone down in our home, and the occasional person who does wander in leaves us alone. I'd like to keep it that way.
I promise not to tell a soul, I said as I placed my hand against my heart and raised my right hand in the air. We only want to find the intruder who's eating your friends, and then we'll never come back. And we definitely won't tell anyone else about your home. Will we, guys? My friends all looked perplexed, but they responded with a few unenthusiastic nods and...
Yeah. All right.
The female rat sighed.
Follow us, humans. Try to keep up.
They know where the entrance is, I explained to the rest of my group. Let's go. The two little rats took off in a dead sprint, and we all had to run at a fast jog to keep up with their scuttling figures. My pulse hammered through my body as we followed the critters along the length of the viaduct for nearly half a mile, until they finally skidded to a stop and banked to the left. They kept running for several more minutes, and then finally they arrived at an abandoned train depot. There were a few rusty train cars sitting in the yard, but they weren't going anywhere anytime soon. The actual tracks themselves had been torn up, probably by scrappers looking to make a quick dime on someone else's behalf, and a few crumbling wood buildings sat on either end of the yard. Piles of rocks, concrete, and metal were scattered all throughout the place, and I felt like I was standing in a post-apocalyptic wasteland.
Over here!
The male rat called out, and then they both scuttled toward a tiny hill. We walked down the small embankment until finally we arrived at a spot on the ground covered with a metal grate. A metal grate that had obviously been torn open by something huge.
Jackpot.
Damn. I whistled as I looked down at the entrance. No wonder urban explorers can't find this place. If I didn't know any better, I'd have just thought this was a drainage down into the sewers.
Let's keep it that way.
The female rat chittered.
The last thing we want is more visitors.
The two rats scuttled through the opening in the grate, and we were left alone to look down into the abyss. It was dark as fuck down in the tunnel, but luckily, my werepanther vision allowed me to see everything as if it had been lit up by 10,000 lumens. I looked over at the massive tear in the gate, which appeared to be just large enough for a single human to slip through. I'll go first, I offered, as I placed my hand on the bent metal. I can see in the dark, and my stealth abilities should allow me to drop down without making any noise. Once I made sure the coast is clear, you guys can start dropping down and I'll catch you.
Got it.
Naomi nodded.
I'll go last, so somebody can stand guard up here.
I positioned myself a few inches away from the hole in the grate, and I took a deep breath as I looked down at the concrete below. It was only about 30 feet down, but that was still enough to fuck up my leg if I landed on it wrong. Then I jumped. Cold, stagnant wind blew past my face as I passed down into the darkness. But I landed onto the concrete floor in a crouch a few seconds later. Even though I'd hit pretty hard, not a single sound escaped from beneath my body. It was like I wasn't even there. I straightened up and glanced around to see a pretty standard subway tunnel, with concrete walls and floors that were brown with grime and crumbling away into dust. I was standing in between two rusted rails, obviously meant to guide the train, and above me was an arched ceiling. Old metal pipes ran in a pair along the ceiling to my left, and I didn't even want to know what was in them. My sensitive hearing didn't pick up any other life forms right now, and I couldn't see any signs of Newt, so I figured all was well. Then I glanced up at Ada, who was staring down at me from above, and I motioned for her to come on down. The succubus gently edged her way over the side of the opening before she pushed herself over and plummeted downward like a lead weight. I caught her in my arms with a soft thud, and Ada let out a soft, excited giggle when she landed. You know, you could have used your wings.
But then I wouldn't have your big, strong arms around me.
Ada winked and pecked a kiss against my cheek. Leah didn't need me to catch her. Instead, the polywarm woman simply got down on all fours and stuck to the top of the ceiling with her bare hands and feet as she crawled across it horizontally and then down to the ground. Janine was next, so I set Ada down and then held out my arms for the changeling. I saw her hands light up with her yellow luck magic, and then she slid over to the edge of the grate and plummeted down toward me. I snatched her up in my arms with ease and gave her a playful frown. What? I teased as I nodded to her glowing hands. Did you really think I wasn't going to catch you?
I thought you would,
the redhead said with a blush.
I just wanted to make extra sure. Oh, God.
I heard Valerie whisper from above. It's all right. I called up in a soft tone as I set Janine on her feet. I'll catch you, I promise.
Okay.
The brunette woman trailed off, and then I heard her whisper under her breath.
You can do this, Val. Come on, you can do this. Just jump.
Valerie slid her body through the grate, and I snatched her out of the air with ease, but her heart was still racing a mile a minute when I set her down on the ground. It's all right, I whispered in her ear. I told you there was nothing to be worried about.
And I thought bungee jumping was bad,
Val said as she shakily placed her hand over her heart and tried to calm herself down.
All right,
Naomi whispered from above.
I'm coming down.
I held out my arms as the witch plummeted from above, and then she let out a gasp as I caught her in my arms. However, her beautiful dark eyes lit up with joy when she felt my muscles wrapped around her, and a smile crept up her face as I set her down on the ground. Do you have any idea where your visitor might be? I don't hear his heartbeat or any movements down here right now.
That's because the palace is very large,
the female rat explained.
I don't know how you humans measure distance, but for us it's a full day's journey to get from one end to the other.
How quick could a rat run? What was a full day's journey just a few miles for humans? There was really no way for the rat to know, so I was dealing with too many variables. Is this the only way in and out of here? I asked as I pointed to the ceiling.
That a human could get through?
This left us with a very important decision to make. The tunnel seemed to go on endlessly in both directions, but I had no clue which way would lead us to Newt. If we chose the wrong way, the fucker could waltz right out through the front door without even being aware we were after him. If this really was the only entrance or exit, then another option would have been to just stay put and wait for the fucker to come to us. Of course, this would completely take away the element of surprise, and who knew how long we'd be waiting for Newt to wander back out of this hellhole. The last option was my least favorite of the bunch, which was splitting up Scooby-Doo style. We would definitely find Newt this way, but it would also mean it would only be three of us against the fucker and not all six, which was just a disaster waiting to happen.
Which way do we go, Carter?
Leah finally asked. I'm not sure, I began, but then an idea popped into my head. The rats! We could send the rats on a reconnaissance mission in one direction while we went in another. That way, if Newt really was down there and saw our furry scouts, he wouldn't even give them a second glance unless he was hungry, since it was pretty damn normal to see a rat in an underground tunnel.
I can use my magic to help guide us. A little bit of luck might just allow us to make the right decision.
The changeling's hands lit up with yellow magic, and then she touched me softly. Her hands felt warm and soothing against my chest, and the tingling sensation of her magic put my whole body on pins and needles. It was time to make a decision. We go that way, I finally said as I pointed to the left. Rats, do you mind going in the other direction?
The way you're going is the direction of the main room, the male rat explained. Don't you want us to come along?
If the guy we're looking for is hanging out in the other direction, we need to know, and it wouldn't be wise to split up my team. If you run into any humans down that way, scurry back to us and let me know. Got it?
I guess,
the female rat mumbled.
If he's here, he's probably in the big room, though.
Then that'll be good for you. It means you'll probably get out of this whole excursion without having to worry about getting eaten by a were-turtle at all.
You know, he has a point, the male rat whispered to his companion. Let's go.
Just let me know if you see anything suspicious, I reminded the two rats before they turned, scuttled down the tunnel to the right, and then disappeared into the distance.
I really hope those vermin know what they're doing,
Valerie said with a grimace. Either way, we're finding Newt, I repeated, and then I motioned for everyone to follow me. Come on. Janine's soft yellow light lit up the area around us, but she kept it at a dull glow so we didn't attract attention. After a few steps, though, Leah let out a soft grunt.
How are you guys moving around right now? I can barely see anything.
I have night vision. Part of the whole were-panther thing.
Wait, it's dark down here? I thought there was sunlight shining in and illuminating everything.
So, were-turtles have night vision, too. Good to know. Wait.
Leah mumbled as she looked around at the group.
Am I the only one here who doesn't have night vision abilities?
It's all right, love.
Ada reassured her with a pat on the shoulder.
You more than make up for it with your other fancy powers.
Even Naomi?
Leah asked as she pointed at the witch.
She's just a human!
A human who worshipped every single lunar god in the universe? Do you really think the sisters of the new moon can't see in the dark?
What about you?
The blonde asked Ada.
Can a succubus see in the dark too?
We do, love. We have to be able to see what we're doing during our nocturnal activities, if you catch my drift.
If it makes you feel any better, Leah, I can't see in the dark.
Janine offered.
I'm just keeping my hand on Carter and making sure I step wherever he steps.
Just stay close to us and you'll be fine, I explained to the frog woman. If we run into any trouble, we'll let you know. We continued on as quietly as we could through the abandoned subway system for what felt like forever. Occasionally, I would hear the skittering legs of a cockroach or the sound of a squeaking rat, but otherwise, our journey was uneventful. Until my ears heard the voice of a man in the distance. I hissed as I held up my hand and stopped.
Janine, cut the lights!
Janine deactivated her spell and the world went dark around us.
And you say you can get us past the hex? A man's voice faintly drifted down the tunnel toward us, but I could pick up every word with my werepanther hearing. We've been trying to slip past that for weeks now, but it always ends up very, very badly for us. Poor Johnson even had his face burned off when he tried to force his way in through a window.
Of course I can get you through the hex.
Another voice chuckled.
I'm literally built for that shit. All I gotta do is get in there and kill the witch, and then both places are yours for the taking.
I recognized the second voice instantly.
Newt. It's him,
I mouthed to my friends.
Tread carefully.
We carefully made our way forward until I heard a sound I totally didn't expect to hear. Beating hearts. Lots of them. Most of the sounds beat with the rhythm of a regular human heart, while several more of them sounded like they were working in double time. I pressed myself up against the wall of the tunnel and crept over to where the abandoned subway curved to the right. I got up as close as I could without breaking my cover and then peered around the corner. It was a massive room, which I assumed was the palace the rats had been talking about. It was the place where people would have gotten on the subway, so it was an open space with several support beams stretching to the ceiling, as well as lots of lifted platforms and stairs that apparently led to nowhere. More alarming, though, was the fact that it wasn't empty. Newt sat on the stairs at the far edge of the room as he spoke to a man in a red robe, with a dark leather belt tied around his waist, and all throughout the rest of the space were men in the same robes, as well as several four-legged lizard beasts. Lizoids. And the OLG.
What do you see?
Janine breathed from behind me. So I looked over at my friends with a grave expression on my face. This just got complicated. A whole lot more complicated.